I'm pretty safe to say that at some point, almost all of our ancestors were aliens. No, they didn't fly here on a spaceship. From other countries, right? Immigrants, people leaving other countries to come to America, making the sacrifice, going through the process, seeking citizenship in this country, seeing something they desired and a better life for themselves and for their children and for their children's children. They came to America. But until completing the naturalization process, they were aliens. What's that mean? They were not citizens. They're just not citizens. And then, completing the process, they become citizens. Citizens of the United States. So they go from an alien and a foreigner to a citizen. And see what we know, we've been studying Ephesians, we know that even though we probably all, or most of us, were born in the United States and are citizens of this country, we were still born aliens. Alienated from God. Born in sin. Not part of His covenant community. We were outside. We were lost. But God. And we've been studying in Ephesians and we've come through chapter 1 and we've seen the first part of chapter 2. And chapter 2 is two sections of you used to be this before Christ, but now you're this. So verses 1 through 10 were you were lost, you were in bondage, you were indulging the flesh and captive to the evil one, and but God, because of His rich love, His amazing grace saved us. Salvation is all of Him. It's a gift to us. We can't earn it. So we were lost, now we're saved in Christ. And here we were in this section from 11 to 22. You were outside of God's people. You were outside of the covenant community. You were outside of Christ and of His people. But now, having been saved, you are in. Jew and Gentile, in one body, one man, Paul says. You are in covenant community with God. So that's what I want to develop today, that relationship and being outside of the covenant community, going to being inside the covenant community in Christ, is seeing that Jew and Gentile, God doesn't have two separate programs, that is one program, one gospel, one church, that you are in the covenant community. So here's the next three sermons, and they all come from the rest of chapter 2. So I hope that whets your appetite. Number one, today, who is Israel? Number two, next week, what is our law? And number three, following that, where is our temple? So I hope you're excited to hear about that. But today, who is Israel? And primarily what I'm going to do is take verse 12 and set it right side by side with verse 19 so that you can see what's going on there. What shift has taken place for you as a Gentile? What does that mean? Just a non-Jew. I'm pretty sure most of us in here, if not all of us, are Gentiles. Are there any natural-born Jewish people in the room? See? We're Ephesians. We're Gentiles. So, this is for you. And there's something for us to remember. Remember, I want to, because we have a lot of new people here, just remember briefly the outline of Ephesians, that the first three chapters are the gospel indicatives. It's what God has done for us in Christ. It's things to know that we might live the way that chapters 4 through 6 outline. Chapters 4 through 6 expand upon the good works that God has foreordained that we walk in, that were mentioned in the last part of verse 10 when we did the section on verses 4 through 10 in chapter 2. So right now we're in knowing the gospel, knowing Christ, knowing who we are in Christ, being rooted and grounded in Christ so that we might live for Christ. Chapters 4 through 6. So just a brief reminder of that, because today is again primarily things that we need to know about ourselves in Christ Jesus. And so that's why the primary comparison today will be between verses 12 and 19. And then we'll come back with the other sermons and fill in the gaps and finish out the chapter. But today, who is Israel? And when I'm finished, I hope you go away believing or at least seeing where I get that Gentiles who come to faith in Jesus are included in Israel. Gentiles who come to faith in Jesus are in God's covenant community, and He only has one. He doesn't have 2, 3, 4, 6, 9. He has one. One people in Christ Jesus, Jew and Gentile, one new man. So before you came to Christ, so really simple outline, this is what was true before, this is what's true now. Let's look at what happened, what was true of us before we came to Christ. And just look at first, this is the first command in the book in verse 11, but then he gets out of commands again until we get to chapter 4. But this is a remember command. God is telling you to remember what you were, remember your needy, desperate condition. Remember what God has saved you from. Kind of like when we studied verses 1 to 3 of chapter 2. He says in verse 11 that this is before Christ you were excluded from God's covenant people. Look at this in verse 11. Therefore remember. Remember. I don't know why, but if you're Star Trek fans, you remember Spock touching, was it Dr. McCoy, right before he passed away, and said, remember. But remember this. Don't forget who you were. Don't forget what God has saved you from and what He's done in your life. Therefore, remember that at one time, you Gentiles, non-Jews, that's everybody who's not a Jew, right? You Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made by hands. He said, so the Jews who were merely circumcised in the flesh and making a big deal about that called you uncircumcision. And again, they're focused on the flesh. What were they saying? Remember how the Jews used to tell you, you're outside of the covenant community. You're not in. Remember the hostility between Jew and Gentile, and the Jews used to call the Gentile dogs and sinners and those who are outside, believing that they, just being born from in physical descent, were sons of Abraham and were in the covenant community. So they were in national Israel. But Paul makes a remark here about circumcision being merely in the flesh. So in the flesh, they were in the covenant community because there was a nation called Israel, and those were the Jewish people, and they were in that. But the way he's remarking here, it sounds like that though they were in the national community, the ethnic Israel, they were not part of the true Israel. And yet they were judging the Gentiles and calling them uncircumcision. They were, I guess, hypocritically saying what was true of themselves, but saying, you're not in. You're uncircumcised, you're not in. That was a problem ongoing in the church, but not one we're going to deal with today. Just remember that you were accused of being outside of the covenant community, and it was true. You were not part of the covenant community. He says, so remember that, and he repeats, remember. Verse 12, remember that you were at that time. What time? At that time when I was outside of Christ, before I believed in Christ, the Ephesians 2, 1 to 3 time when I was, had not come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This was true of me. Look at the list. At that time, before you came to Christ, remember that you were at that time, one, separated from Christ. Well, what's the implications then of that? You were separated from Christ. Next, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That doesn't sound, whether you understand all of that or not, that doesn't sound like a good place to be, right? Nobody wants to be in a place where they have no hope and they're without God in the world. Because if you're without God, in other words, if you're not in saving relationship to God, you have no hope in the world. That's who you were at one time. See, remember, he's talking to believers now. He's talking to people who have been converted. He's writing to a church that has been planted in Ephesus. And he's already gone over the fact in chapter 1 that they were chosen before the foundation of the world. They were predestined and God worked out everything to bring them to Himself. They were redeemed in Christ and that was all according to God's plan. And they have a rich inheritance in Him that believing in Christ, they were sealed with the Holy Spirit and moves on from there talking about the hope and that Jesus is ruling and reigning for the church. And then these two places where he says, now, but remember, outside of Christ, this was true of you. In other words, you didn't save yourself. This was your desperate condition. Look at what God has done in your life. And so here, they were these four things. And I want to just talk briefly about these four things, just quickly. It says in verse 12, look at this, that the first thing he mentions is that you were at that time, before Christ, you were separated from Christ. And that's kind of a, that sort of just is laying on the page. We get that. Remember that when you see that word Christ, that's Greek for anointed one. It's talking about Messiah, Jesus, the Jewish Messiah. You were separated from Jesus, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, if you want to do Hebrew, but Jesus Christ, Christ anointed one, same thing as Messiah. You were apart from Him, you were without Him, you had no relationship to Him. So you at one time didn't belong, you know, you didn't know Jesus, you hadn't come to faith in Jesus yet. That was true of you at one time. So you were separate from Him. And the reason he's using that word is he's going to fix it as he goes through the chapter, relate something to that. He says, you are separated from Christ. Well, what implications did that have in my life? Well, the next thing he says is you were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. I think some other translations get this better. And they say that you are alienated from citizenship in Israel. Because that word means citizenship, and that's exactly how Paul uses it in Acts, how Luke uses it in Acts 22:28. Talking about his citizenship. You know, the Roman was talking about how he bought his, and Paul said, I was born a citizen. And they were greatly afraid because they were persecuting a citizen of Rome. But it's better translated, you were alienated. You were aliens in Israel. You were not part of, just think about it, if we were not a citizen in America, we would be an alien. We'd be a stranger. We'd be one who is not a citizen. So at that time, you were separated from Christ, which meant that you were not a citizen in Israel. You were alienated from the citizenship in Israel. Which also then would mean that you were strangers to the covenants of promise. And these words are very important. Alienated and strangers. And we're going to see that in a minute. But you were alienated from the citizenship in Israel and you were strangers to the covenants of promise. I mean, God's, there are sworn promises, His covenants culminating in the new covenant where He promises salvation, forgiveness of sins, you know, knowing God. Living with God. God's going to deal with our sins. So, last in Jeremiah 31, repeated in Hebrews 8. God's covenant promises. You were separated from Christ, so you were outside of Israel, and you had no hope because you were not in covenant, saving covenant, promised covenant with God. And the proto-covenant or the fulfillment which is fulfilled in Christ, which He said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Salvation. You are alienated from salvation. And I just want to point out real quickly, and I'll move on from this right now. But when it talks about being separated from Christ and being alienated from Israel and being strangers to the covenants of promise, God's covenants of promise. God's covenants made up of promises. Promises of redemption. Those were given to Israel. And this used to bother me when I would read Jeremiah 21 and it says, this is the new covenant that I will make. And if you read it, it says, to Israel and Judah. To the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. You know there was a divided kingdom at that time. This is the new covenant that I'm going to make with Israel. You know, I used to think, well, I'm not Israel, so how did I... What? But strangers to those covenants, outside of the blessing of those covenants, the covenants were not made with you because you were not in Israel, you were separated from Messiah. And therefore, being separated from Messiah and being alienated from Israel and being strangers to the covenants of promise, you had no hope. There was no hope for you because what you deserved was judgment and condemnation. And without the new covenant, without salvation, without God's covenants of promise which are made with Israel and given to Israel, you're out. You have no hope. See, before salvation, we were out. We were out of Christ. We were out of the covenant community. Therefore, we didn't have the hope of the covenants of promise. Whereas the only place hope is found, so we were out. And see that? That's pretty plain. Those are the implications of being outside of Christ. You're not part of Israel, therefore you're not under God's covenants of promise. So you have no hope. In and of yourselves, you have no hope. In and of yourselves, you couldn't fix that. And that's what he told us in 2:1-3, that we were dead in our sins and, you know, we were captive and we were indulgent and that's where we would have stayed were it not for His amazing grace delivering. Well, he talks about that here. We're going to walk through this quickly. We'll come back to it in the next sermon, this little section. But it says, look at this. It says, this was true of you. You had no hope but God, you might as well say. But, in verse 13, but now in Messiah Jesus, in Christ Jesus, in God's Son, but now in, since you're in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You who were once separated are now joined to Christ because you're in Christ. By the blood of Christ, representing, preaching, proclaiming His sacrifice for us, His death on the cross, His atoning sacrifice for our sin. He paid the penalty we deserve to pay so that we would be cleansed of our sin and clothed in His righteousness, all a gift to us through faith, and even that faith is a gift. And if you don't understand any of that, my question is, are you trusting in Jesus for your salvation this morning? Because it's not found anywhere else. But it's a free gift to you in Jesus. So God provides the humility. God provides the faith to own our sinful condition and to run to Him for mercy and to receive His Son for our salvation. And this has happened to these Ephesian believers and it's happened to you who are believing in Christ. And He says, now, because of God, you are in Christ Jesus. You were far off, but you've been brought near. You've been included. You've been brought into Christ through His sacrifice. Now look what He's done with Jew and Gentile. In verse 14, for He, Jesus, He Himself is our peace who has made us, look, Paul's including himself now, who has made us both, who? Who's the both? Jew and Gentile, you'll see that. But He's made us both one. And He's broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility. The gospel takes away the hostility, the racism, the rift between people groups as we see them. He's made us both one. He's made us all one in Christ Jesus. But here the reference is Jew and Gentile, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances. What's that mean? We're going to talk about that next week. Sorry, can't do it all today. Hopefully that'll bring you back. That He might, look what the goal was, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. That He might take, and remember in chapter 1, He's bringing all things together in Christ Jesus, that He might take Gentile and Jew and bring them into one in Christ Jesus. That's why we'll never plant First Church of the Gentiles or First Church of the Jews. It's First Church, it's Jesus. And we're all one in Jesus. I don't think we should have sectarian churches. I don't think it represents the gospel well. All people. People from every tribe and tongue and nation and language, it says in Revelation, are one before His throne, worshiping Him. Together. In joy in Christ. It's that old children's song, isn't it? Red, yellow, black, and white, all are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. made us both one, broke down the hostility, one new man in Jesus, one group together, Jew and Gentile. One new man, not two, one new man in Jesus. And look at him. He made peace and he reconciled us to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off, that's Gentiles, and peace to you, those who were near, Jews. For through him we, look at Paul, bringing himself in, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Jew and Gentile. Everybody in Jesus, one before the Father. Trophies of grace we talked about earlier in chapter 2. Portraits of grace forever proclaiming His glory and His amazing grace. One people flowing out of the cross. Many people coming in. Two big main groups, biblically speaking, Jew and Gentile coming into the cross and one people flowing out. Peace, unity, grace, love, killing. The gospel kills hostility. Any group that claims to be a follower of Jesus that's promoting hostility is not a follower of Jesus. Whatever group it is, whatever group it is. Because flowing out of the cross is one new people, hand in hand, loving one another, walking arm in arm for the gospel to see others come to Christ. See, life's about Jesus after the cross. It's about Jesus. So it's not true anymore that we're separate. It's not true anymore that we're lost. It's not true anymore that we're without hope, because Jesus, the Son of God, God, took on human nature, became, He was the God-man as He was born into this planet, and He came to glorify the Father, to satisfy justice, yes, but to live in perfect fulfillment of all righteousness for His people. And then though He deserved all blessing, He went to that cross where He took our sin upon Himself and paid the penalty and drank that cup dry, so that there's now no condemnation left for those who are trusting in Jesus, because Jesus took all their condemnation upon Himself on the cross and cried, "It is finished." Sin dealt with, salvation accomplished. 2, 4, 6, all one in me. He has dealt with the division. First and foremost, the division from God. And then underneath that, the division from one another. Coming out of the cross, we're one in Christ Jesus. Let all racism go under the blood of Christ and be gone. Be it between Jew and Gentile, be it between black and white, be it between whatever our skin looks like, because that's not who we are. We're all one race. That's the human race. And we have one Savior. That's Jesus Christ, who brings us together in His salvation. No more division. But Jew and Gentile together. Now look at this. I want to show you something. And if you are taking notes, the things that are true in verse 12, you can put them on one side. Now the things that are true in verse 19, you can put them on the other side. So look at this. In verse 19. Remember in verse 12 it says, "You were separated from Christ. You were alienated from Israel. You were strangers to the covenants of promise and you had no hope." That's verse 12. Look at verse 19. "So then," flowing out of the gospel, flowing out of the cross, "so then you, Gentiles," remember? We, us, as Jews, is the way Paul is speaking. "You, is Gentiles," first part of this section. "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." I'll stop there, because that the rest of that one we'll talk about. Where's our temple? Though this was true of you, separate from Christ, alienated from Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise and without God, not true anymore. It's not true anymore. You are no longer separate from Christ. Obviously, he's just got finished with 13 to 18, showing how we're now in Christ, one with Christ, reconciled to God. So 13 to 18, you're instead of being separate from Christ, you're united to Christ. You're in Christ Jesus. But look at this. No longer strangers and aliens. So verse 12 said that I was an alien. That's not verse 12. I was an alien. I was alienated from Israel. And this verse says I'm no longer alienated. So what is that saying? I'm no longer non-Israel. I'm in Israel. That's the conclusion you have to draw, because he uses the very same word. You're no longer alienated from Israel. You're part of Israel now. You're a citizen now. He says that. He uses that same word. You're a citizen. You're no longer strangers to the covenants of promise. You've been included now in those covenants, though you are Gentiles. Though you are Gentiles, you are fellow citizens now with the saints. You're part of the group called the saints, made up of Jew and Gentile, the one new man he was talking about. You are joined with the remnant of Israel who always believed in God and was converted. In that day and previous. Really, really see this. Stop. If you haven't been listening, start listening. Look at this. You're no longer strangers from the covenants of promise in Israel. You're no longer alienated from Israel, but now you're a citizen. You're fellow citizens, and you've been adopted into God's household. So you were alienated from Israel, but that's not true anymore. You were separate from the covenants of promise, but that's not true anymore. What is the obvious implication of that? You are Israel. True Israel. Fulfillment Israel. You're what the Old Testament Israel promised come to fruition in Christ in the new covenant. Jew and Gentile, one new man. But don't be afraid to call it Israel. All that was in the Old Testament is yours. It's your story. It's your heritage. Believing Gentiles are included with Israel and are now, instead of being outside the covenant community, they're in the covenant community. So now it makes sense out of Jeremiah 31 for me, because I have been included in that community and therefore I inherit that promise of new covenant that was made to Israel and Judah. And I know I'm rubbing up against some theological convictions that might go in a different direction here. And there's a couple of them. Either the conviction that the church and Israel are two separate and distinct things, and they're men I love and listen to who believe that. I don't think you can get that out of these two verses. And other verses. This is not the only place. If you think I'm crazy, and I might be, okay? But there's other verses where I can show you this. But there's the other thing that's not true. Some people will say the church has replaced Israel. Well, that's quacked. That's not true. Gentiles are included. Let me use a little language and see if it piques your mind. Grafted into the promises made to Israel. Where did I get that? Well, let me start with Galatians and give you a few verses. And I'm going to give you some homework. Now, you got to do some work. If this is new to you, you have to do some work. I'm going to trust you with that. But look at Galatians. Galatians is written to another Gentile church where the Judaizers have come in and say, if you're going to be converted, you have to be circumcised and you have to keep the law of Moses. You have to become an Old Testament Jew. And that's not what I'm telling you this morning. And so Paul is combating that and preaching the gospel in Galatia and showing them the free grace of God in Christ. But look at what he says to Gentile believers in chapter 3. And I need you to read the rest of Galatians chapter 3. So write down on your sheet, homework, Galatians 3. Go read it. Because I can't deal with all that this morning. But Galatians 3 says, know then that is those who are of faith, who are the sons of Abraham. Why does he say that? Well, the Jews have come in again and they're saying you Gentiles are out and you are out of the community and you've got to do all this Old Testament stuff. Which we'll see is not true when we talk about what is our law next week. But it's those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham? What's the big deal about that? Well, the promises were made to Abraham and his seed, which if you keep reading in Galatians 3, is to Christ and then to everyone in Christ. So if you are believing in Jesus, that's what it means to be of faith, then you are a son of Abraham. You are Abraham's seed. You see the logic there. More Abraham's seed than the Jewish person who's not believing in Messiah because they're not of faith. But there's always been a remnant in Israel who did by God's grace. It's those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham, or we should probably do the seed of Abraham more literally there. Well, look in 3:29. Listen, and I'm trusting you to read the chapter, okay? Galatians 3:29. And if you are Christ's, what does that mean? You believe the gospel and you're trusting in Jesus by God's grace. He's your Savior. If you're in Christ, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring. You are Abraham's seed and you are heirs according to the promises made to Abraham, which are fulfilled ultimately in Christ and in the new covenant. If you are Christ, you are the seed to whom the promises were made. You are in the covenant of promise. You are heirs according to those promises. See how that promise connects there. So if you're Christ, you inherit God in Christ, you inherit God's covenant promises. Can you see that? If you are believing in Jesus, you're Abraham. Abraham is your father in the faith. Though you're a Gentile. Romans chapter 4, there's another place you can go read and see that if you're taking notes. Romans chapter 4. I'm not going there. I don't have time unless y'all want to eat lunch and start again. Let's do it. I love that. I love that. Paul ends the letter to the Galatians by calling them the Israel of God. And I can defend that for you if you need me to. Okay? He's not speaking of another group. He's talking about that group. If you're trusting in Jesus, you are Abraham's seed, you are in Christ Jesus, you are in the covenants of promise, you are the Israel of God. But it gets even better than that. When's the last time you read Romans 11? Just think about that. You don't have to tell me out loud. You need to go read Romans 9 through 11 and see Paul's heart for his kinsmen, the Jews, and see how to interpret Scripture in light of Christ. And even Paul says that not all who are of Israel are Israel. It's the children of promise. What's that? The ones who believe in Messiah. The remnant that we're included in, which is the true Israel. It's in verse in chapter 9. Don't have time to deal with that. Flows through. Paul says something. I'm be honest with you. I can't relate to this yet. But he says that he himself would be willing to be accursed of God if they would be saved. Such a Christ-like mindset that he would be willing to go to hell that his Israelite brothers would be saved. Now, that he can't accomplish that, and he knows that. Jesus had to do that, and he did. If by God's grace, they trust in him. But in Romans chapter 11, Paul begins to talk about Israel as an olive tree. And the Old Testament, one of the Old Testament pictures of Israel is an olive tree. Just one quick glance. Jeremiah said, "The Lord once called you a green olive tree, beautiful with good fruit. But with a roar of great tempest, He will set fire to it and its branches will be consumed." Because they were going off in idolatry, they were rebelling against God, they would eventually go into captivity before God would bring them out and bring His Son. But see, you see it right there in Jeremiah where God uses as a symbol the olive tree of Israel. And Paul picks up on that in Romans chapter 11 and starts talking about his burden for the Jews to be saved and how do the Gentiles fit into all this and what does all this look like. And he says this, and you saw branches being burned there. He says, Israel is an olive tree and the branches in Israel that didn't believe are broken off. And that you Gentiles who believe in Messiah, in Christ, in Jesus Christ as your Savior, are grafted in. Gentiles grafted into the olive tree of Israel. Grafted in, joined with the remnant, the true spiritual Israel, 11:5. Those who are believing by God's grace. You'll have to go read it. One people. So the branches, the unbelieving Jewish people broken off by God's grace. This is how He turned the gospel to the Gentiles. And by His grace, the Gentiles who believe are grafted into that same olive tree. Again, you have to go read Romans 11. But listen, believing Gentiles are grafted into Israel, and therefore they are under God's saving promises to His covenant community. Let me point out two things He did not do in the illustration in Romans chapter 11. God did not plant another tree and call it the church. That's dispensationalism, if you want me to name it. That's not true. There's not two trees, there's one. You see that in Romans chapter 11, right? If you haven't read it, it'll make sense when you go read it. Watch how God says He broke off the unbelieving branches and He grafted in the believing Gentiles into the same tree by His grace. He didn't plant a separate tree and call it the church. In fact, the word for church in the New Testament is used all over the Old Testament in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. It means assembly, congregation, the gathering. God's people. He didn't plant another tree, but let me tell you what else He didn't do. He didn't chop the tree down at its roots. That's replacement theology. Get rid of that tree and start something new. I've never met anybody in the Reformed world who believes in that anyway. That's a dispersion cast at Reformed theology, but I don't know anybody aside from a few scant liberals who believe in replacement theology. It's fulfillment theology. It's included, inclusion theology, where it's one tree, Israel, olive tree, unbelieving branches broken off, believing Gentiles grafted in still to one tree. So the way that I as a Gentile partake of God's promise of a new covenant in Jeremiah, which He made with Israel and Judah, is that by His grace I've been grafted in. I'm grafted into that. He didn't start something new that wasn't foreseen. I mean, in Acts, Peter preaching says that all of the prophets have talked about these days. So the church evidently was something they saw coming. It wasn't plan B or it wasn't a surprise. I'm grafted in. The Gentiles are grafted in by grace. He's saving Gentiles and grafting them into the one tree of Israel, which is the one new man, chapter 2, verse 15. God has not replaced Israel, and He's not at work in another tree outside of Israel. He's not for, you ask me, so is He finished with the Jewish people? No. Read Romans chapter 11. He's using us Gentiles as weak and needy and worthless as we are, to make them jealous. And there's coming a day when the fullness of the Gentiles will come in and all of a sudden the gospel explodes among the Jewish people, which is starting to happen if you read about it. But it's one tree. It's one people. Gentiles are grafted into the covenant community, which is Israel. They are partakers of the covenants of promise, which are Israel's. You'll see that in Romans chapter 9. Paul establishes that Jew and Gentile are on equal footing in Christ. The Jew needs the gospel just like the Gentile does. We all do. Paul establishes that in Romans 3. Some of you are new. I say this a lot, so bear with me, those who you hear it all the time. If you understand the book of Romans, you'll understand the rest of the Bible. If you will read and understand Romans, it will unlock the rest of Scripture for you. If you start in Genesis knowing nothing about the Bible or the Gospel, you're going to have to become a Jew before you can become a Christian. It's going to be confusing. So read John, read Luke, Acts, read Romans, read Ephesians, and then go read the Old Testament and you'll get it. In fact, we've put together a reading program that will help you do that. It's on the website. That's all I'll say about that. Why does this matter? Why does this matter? Well, first off, it glorifies God because it shows how He's at work to save one people in Christ Jesus, which is true Israel, spiritual Israel made up of Jew and Gentile together. Aren't you glad? No, aren't you glad? Because, listen, He could have just stuck with the Jews and not grafted us in. Because we didn't deserve Him to include us. But it glorifies Him. It's true to the Word. It's true to His gospel. Faithful to the Bible. The Bible teaches that God has one true covenant people, true Israel, made up of Jew and Gentile. The Bible teaches that that saved Gentiles are part of that one people. So why does that matter? Old Testament is your Old Testament. It's your heritage. Abraham is your father in the faith. The God of the Old Testament is your God. The Psalms are for you. I have some friends that I love dearly who, I don't know if they still are in the same theological camp that they were in that day, but my wife quoted one of the Psalms on I think it was Facebook, and the response she got was, "Isn't that a great promise for Israel?" And I jumped off the couch. I didn't say it on Facebook, but I was like, "Yes, and I'm in because of Jesus. Isn't that a great promise to the Jews?" I think that's the way she said it. But like, no, I'm been grafted into all of that. The Psalms are for me as much as they are for the Jew and Gentile, one new man, all of the Bible. It's mine. It's yours. The Psalms are your Psalms. The prophets are your prophets. And the promises, praise God, are your promises in Christ Jesus. See, what Jesus did for the disciples on the road to Emmaus is show them how the whole Old Testament is about Him and His salvation. And that's what the New Testament does, is interpret the Old in light of Christ, which it was about Him primarily, all along. So, it didn't surprise Him that, for the most part, the Jews rejected Him, and that He worked and grafted in the... Because that was always His plan, to graft in Jew and Gentile together, one new man in Christ Jesus. The church is not plan B. The church is not something separate from Israel. Now listen, the Old Testament covenants are your covenants. Especially the new covenant that Jesus said was in His blood, that Paul said He was a minister of, and His ministry was to the Gentiles. You are not God's plan B if you were not born a Jew. He chose you before the foundation of the world and came after you and saved you. Chapter 1, you are included. You are no longer aliens from Israel. You are fellow citizens. You inherit all of the promises in Christ Jesus. You are fully included with the Jews who trust Jesus, Gentiles who trust Jesus. That's true Israel. Romans 9, Galatians, Romans 11. Those who are trusting by God's grace in Jesus, you are fully included in God's covenant people. And you are full of hope in the Messiah, the Anointed One, Jesus Christ, who is Lord and Savior of the world. He is your salvation. And in Him, you are true Israel. And you are the covenant community in your Messiah, in your Savior, Christ Jesus. Trust and rest in Him for salvation. He has accomplished it all. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this good news. We have covered so much in just a quick brush stroke. So help us to be diligent, to go back and read other Scriptures and to really get this cemented that we are Your people, that You set Your heart on us before the foundation of the world, that the plan was always and only about Your Son saving a people from every tribe, tongue, and nation, from Jew and Gentile, who will be around the throne praising and worshiping You forever because of Your grace and Your kindness to us in Christ. Help us to rest, to place all of our hope, to trust in the Lord Jesus and know that we are co-heirs with Him, have everything that is His, have a bright, shining hope for the future, a glorious inheritance, eternal life, living forever in the new heavens and the new earth. Because Jesus, You are the truth, because You came and saved us, we are Your people. And it is true for us that to live is Christ and to die is gain. And we give you praise for it and pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.